Last Tuesday, we spoke with Lee McGonigal, who is the Democrat running for Greene County Treasurer. And this morning, we've got Peter Marcoux here, who is the Republican candidate for Greene County Treasurer and the current incumbent. And you're running on the Republican line, and what other lines?
Running on the Republican and conservative line.
Conservative lines. Can you tell us just first, what does the Greene County Treasurer do?
Well, first of all, the Greene County Treasurer is what I like to call the gatekeeper of the taxpayers' money. We basically kind of oversee the budget process after it's done, making sure that everybody's staying within the budget. We collect federal funds. We get, actually, the county is supported by mostly taxpayer money, always taxpayer money, whether it comes from federal sources or state sources, whether it comes from real property taxes, whether it comes from the sale of licenses or the sale of, you know, anything that we might sell. So in reality, we look at probably a $100 million budget every year, and the Treasurer's Office is responsible for keeping that money as safe as possible. We do have cybersecurity things set up so that we sometimes get hacked. In fact, we have been hacked three times already. Fortunately, we've had in place what I like to call a positive pay kind of thing. The process here is that the county, in effect, pays its bills once a month, and those checks are cut, and a inventory of those checks is sent to the bank, and as they are submitted for payment, the bank checks them against that inventory, and if they're not on that inventory, they are not paid. They have to be approved by the legislature's budget officer, who is Charlie Martinez. He comes in once a month on Thursday. We do a financial audit. We review everything that's there. We also, we also make sure that the towns are made whole. They're allowed to collect the county taxes along with their own, and once their warrant is met, they turn over the remainder to us. School taxes are a major issue. Once the school taxes become uncollectible by the school district, they are turned over to the county. The county then turns around and makes the school districts whole. That's approximately $6 to $7 to $8 million a year that has to be paid out of taxpayer money to make the school districts whole. So basically what we fundamentally do is we watch your money.
The oversight.
Well, it's mostly oversight and mostly gatekeeping, okay? The real issue for us is the concept of open book. We try to put everything on our webpage so that people can get access to our financial reports. If they have questions, my email address is there. My phone number is there. I'm always willing to take a phone call, explain anything to anybody. The real issue for us this year has been the Government Accounting Standards Board has issued a bunch of brand new statements that have to do with either pension reform or health care cost post-retirement. So we have to...
Is that a state or federal?
Federal.
Federal.
Okay, federal. It's actually a transparency requirement that we have to fulfill, and it sometimes can be onerous. So we have an outside accounting firm to help us. But in reality, it does have impact on our financial statements. Not a negative impact. It's more a transparency impact. For example, there is some rather erroneous information going around that the county has a mandate of $120 million health and pension cost outstanding. It's not a mandate. It's a transparency kind of thing we have to put on our financial statements. It's called GASB 74. GASB is the Government Accounting Standards Board. For all financial statements of municipal organizations that have this kind of a situation, you must report that on your financials. The actual amount that is probably outstanding is $164 million, not $120.
That's all future payouts?
That's future payouts. If the county were to close tomorrow, these are all future payouts that would have to be done. Mm-hmm. When you compare that to the state of New York, the state of New York has a pension liability of $177 billion. So, you know, it's the kind of thing that appears on people's, on municipal financial statements. Probably as a result of the Enron case many, many years ago, where a lot of things that were, out there just were not kind of hidden. We've come a bit down on the side of full disclosure always, and we will stay there as long as I'm treasurer anyway.
We've been interviewing some of the coroner candidates, and they've been talking about how that role could be or should be like nonpartisan or appointed even. What is important about the treasurer's role that it that
well,
is
first of all, let me say this, okay? There is no Republican money. There is no Democratic money. There's no conservative money. There's taxpayer money, okay? So when I take office, or when I took office 8 years ago, I was reminded by one of my constituents that you represent all of the people now, and I've done that for the past year. Any pound supervisor who might need help or might want to talk to me has been always welcome to call. The coroners, obviously, I can absolutely agree with them. It's nonpartisan, okay? You're dealing with something that you're dealing with death, okay?
And it's more science than,
right.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Although you're doing more math, I guess.
Yes. We've kind of made their jobs easier. In the process of dealing with DSS clients who may pass, I approached the town of Catskill probably last year and bought 100 grave sites in the Catskill Cemetery that we would provide for DSS clients who die without family and have no one to bury them. Those graves are available to the coroners free of charge, including a grave liner, the opening of the grave, and the closing of the grave. We also did 50 grave sites in Coxsackie's Riverside Cemetery. So we've, in that process, DSS has also dealt with the coroners or the funeral directors, all funeral directors, actually. It doesn't matter whether you're a coroner or not. If you have a DSS client, you can approach the Department of Social Services, do all the paperwork that needs to be done, and there will be a free burial.
And this election, if you're elected, would be your third term?
This would be my third term, right.
And what is the basic message you're giving to voters about why you should be reelected?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. When I first took office 8 years ago, Greene County was just coming out of a deficit budget situation. Then we were hit with Hurricane Irene, and our cash flow was like a cash register that just kept opening and opening and opening.
You had to spend the money because of the hurricane.
There were immediate concerns
that had to be.
So we then issued a bond anticipation note for $10 million that kind of put us in a better situation. I knew we would get all this money back from FEMA, but it takes about 3.5 years to get your money back from FEMA. So in effect, what happened after that is that we began having budget surpluses. In the past 8 years, we have had 8 budget surpluses. That's pretty significant. I'm not going to take credit for all of that. Okay, a lot of that was the work of department heads who stayed within their budgets. A lot of that was the work of people who really understood that just because you have a budget doesn't mean you have to spend all the money. So after 8 years of budget deficits and being able to come up with a situation in which all of our outside audits were outstanding audits, there were no findings, there were no recommendations by the auditors, we were in pretty much the best financial position that Greene County's been in years. I'm kind of proud of that, okay? It's a good record. It's a good financial record, and I'm proud of it. In fact...
We can give you the applause for that.
Thank you.
So you're proud of that, and what else were you going to say? I'm sorry, I interrupted you with the applause there.
I was just going to tell you how much money we have.
How much money do we have?
How much money we have? We have $38 million in fund balances, all allocated among all the special funds. We do that in case we need to, you know, buy equipment. Like, for example, highway equipment, it costs in the six figures. And so rather than go out and borrow the money, we try to put it aside. But the best part of all of this is we, as of today, in fact, we have $38 million in cash. So the county is not in any financial straits at all. We've been evaluated by...
That includes the $8 million that's set aside for the jail?
Oh, yeah.
And it includes the final quarter of the year that's going to be spent?
Yeah, it includes the amount we're going to pay the school district. It includes the retirement amount we have to pay every year. It includes the amount we've set aside for the jail. And in reality, it includes every two-week payroll. Money still keeps coming in. Every 2 weeks, we make sure we meet payroll. Once a month, we make sure we pay all our bills. Basically, we're in fine financial position.
And how is the sales tax figures?
The sales tax figures keep going up.
They do. That's good.
Yeah, they keep going up, and they keep going up on a consistent basis.
And that means there's been more tourism?
Yeah,
that means
selling a lot of automobiles.
Automobiles.
Okay,
that's the
primary source of sales tax is automobile sales, and secondarily, it's gasoline for those cars. Tourism is strong. I'm expecting that when winter comes, you know, people complain about white snow. When snow falls, I see it as green, okay, because it's going to turn into sales tax dollars. The ski resorts in Greene County have done well. I think tourism is in pretty good shape. Economic development is working hard to make things happen. It's not easy. I've been an economic developer. I know what the competition is like. You know, you're dealing with probably 10 to 12,000 economic development agencies across the country and states that are willing to give all kinds of incentives. Can we compete? It's not a question of whether we can compete. It's a question we have to compete. And I think both the IDA and the Department of Economic Development have done a good job.
Can you explain to us, Bill Lawrence wrote a piece in the Greenville Pioneer a couple of weeks ago about... it seemed to me it said that taxes are going to go up about almost 7% because of the new jail. Is that correct, or am I misreading that article?
I think that we're kind of jumping the gun here. I have a lot of respect for Bill, and I think that as a legislature, as a member of the legislature, he has to do that. I'm still concerned about how we finance this jail. Okay, we've talked about this USDA loan. I am not a big fan of federal financing. I've been in this business a long time, and any time you deal with the federal government, there are all kinds of these little stipulations, all kinds of little things you have to do that in reality extend the time for completing a project. And from my perspective, if I'm looking at that, the longer it takes to build this jail, the more it's going to cost
us.
Okay? Because every day the cost of materials goes up. I'm not concerned about the interest rate, okay? I know everybody else is, and I've been watching the Fed, you know, knowing that they're going to raise the rates. But I also know in the long run, everything that goes up must come down.
Well, there's going to be another recession eventually. You know, there always is.
Well, they're already talking about it,
right?
Okay?
And then the rates will come down.
Then the rates will come down. And the advantage of going to the open market is that, in effect, you can refinance anytime you want. When those rates get, you know, if you make the bond that you issue convertible so that you can, you know, convert it to another bond, when the interest rates go down a reasonable amount, then you basically can refinance There's no reason to have a debt that stays the same for 30 years. Obviously, that's going to happen long after I'm gone. But in reality, any treasurer worth their salt is going to be watching the bond market, is going to be watching the stock market, even though the county is not allowed to invest in the stock market. We can only invest in the banks that we have, or in certificates of deposit, or federal securities. Basically, we put all our money in local banks. We get it collateralized by the bank. The bank will give us very competitive rates so that we can earn significant interest. We do that for a reason, because local banks support local economic development, and there's nothing better than, in reality, turning over taxpayer money to be held in trust by the bank that will then be lent out to create economic opportunity in the community.
So go back to the, you're worried about the USDA grant. So why is that?
I'm worried about the USDA grant because there are stipulations in that contract that requires them to come out and almost approve everything you do. So from my perspective, unless you have a USDA clerk of the works there every day, are we going to have to stop construction till somebody comes to say, okay, that pipe is all right, continue?
So that could drag the construction process out.
It's just going to drag it all out. You know, the whole idea is once you marshal the assets on a construction site, the first thing you've got to do is make sure that within that time frame you can build what you're building. You know, obviously the weather's going to have a factor there, but if it's all good weather, then in reality you should be able to build this jail quickly. Now, quickly does not mean in 2 months. It'd probably take 2 years to build this jail, at least.
And so, you're worried that, or what is the alternative if you don't recommend the USDA grant?
We'll go to the open bond market, and I think there are some legislators who have already indicated they would prefer that. There's a question of the cost, obviously. If the interest rate on the open bond market is significantly higher than USDA, we will probably go USDA, but I'll still have my concerns about it, and I've expressed those concerns both to the county administrator and to a number of legislators.
Can you give taxpayers a sense of what their tax rate is going to increase or how soon that will start increasing?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, their tax rate in 2017 was $4.71 a thousand. So, you know, on a $100,000 house, that was not a significant rate. Until we actually know what this jail is going to cost, I wouldn't even venture a guess, but I would imagine that if we do our own due diligence and if we watch construction costs and if we make sure we control change orders, then we can make this jail come in under whatever budget we set for it. Of course, I think we're still waiting for the Department of Corrections to approve our plan. So until we have that, I think that, you know, we're kind of in limbo here.
But legislators voted for it. I don't understand why they voted for something and they don't know what the total cost is going to be.
Well, we've got estimated costs, and the estimated costs with our $8 million were approximately $47, $46, $45. It's kind of like a floating number here.
So when does that start to impact the taxpayer? When do they start to see rates go up? Is it going to be next year? Is it going to be the year after?
It will probably be, I would venture a guess it would probably be the year after, because we've already set aside money in the budget for debt service, which, you know, whichever way we go. There is a, I think the budget hearing is scheduled for November 5th. The budget for 2019 is ready to go. From what I understand and what I've seen, that there is money in there for debt service. There is some money in there for continuing plans if we need it done. I think we're in fairly good shape.
And I guess since the economy is so good, this is the kind of best time to build the most expensive project in Greene County history?
The economy is rocking, okay? Is it going to stay that way? You know, I've been trained as an economist, okay, and I know for sure that everything goes up, you know, has to come down. There are business cycles. We're in a cycle right now. we try to, you know, in the treasurer's office, we try to anticipate that cycle. I have what I call my risk management team, which are three senior members of the staff who are highly trained, who have a real understanding of what's going on in the economy and a real understanding of what's happening in Greene County. So we meet once or twice a week to talk about the Fed, to talk about the cash flow of our own. We always have concerns about that because, you know, first of all, we've got this $25 million payroll. And, you know, every once in a while I hear, you know, well, can we farm some of this stuff out? Can we privatize it? Sure we can. But the fact of the matter is that payroll is a great economic multiplier. If you take that payroll and multiply it by a multiplier of 1.5 or 2 times, it's significant impact on money spent in Greene County. And that money turns over once, twice, three, maybe 4 times.
Yeah, is the county the largest employer in the county? Is it bigger than the jail or the ski resorts?
Actually, I'm not sure.
It's right up there, though, I'm sure. But, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't think of too many other businesses that are that large.
No. We have about 500 employees, although we have cut back. You know, in those early years that I was here, it was a tough situation because we were playing with a deficit. That deficit really came about because the legislature at that time overestimated receipts from sales tax, and the economy tanked. It went into its recession, and that sales tax wasn't there.
So are we in danger of that now? Are they
no,
expecting
actually,
a lot of...
Actually, we've established in the treasurer's office what I call a sales tax stabilization fund. It's got $5 million in it. It's there in case the sales tax tanks. If we've overestimated the sales tax, then in reality that fund will be used to make up the difference.
Because if the economy crashes tomorrow, you need at least a year before you can even correct anything because you've already planned out the budget for next year.
Well, if the economy crashes, you know, the effect on that's going to take a long time to reach us, probably 6, 7, 8 months. We'll be ready for it.
If new listeners or people that just moved here or that maybe don't follow things closely, just give us your kind of basic background of why you're in this role now or why you should be reelected again.
Well, first of all, I think I have a record of good financial intelligence. Okay, I'll put it that way. I have been the Greene County Treasurer for 8 years. In that 8 years, we have continuously improved our financial situation. As I said before, the county is in the best financial condition it has ever been in the 8 years I've been here and probably prior to that. We are facing some new challenges. The jail is one, but there's another one that people don't talk about. And that's the mental health building in Cairo. It is a building that defies the fact that it's even still standing. It is the old county farm. It needs to be updated. Either that or we need to build a new mental health building. And there's been some talk of that. That's going to be at least maybe another $10 million project. And even though we're fixing what we have with Band-Aids and it's kind of a holding together, at some point in time, a decision has to be made. And I think that's going to happen within the next 4 years. And again, you know, we're in that hurricane path. After experiencing one, I keep worrying about some other event that might tax our cash flow. I think I'm the best qualified candidate. I belong to 3 treasurer organizations, 1 in the state of New York and 2 national. They are great sources of information, great sources of education. My background has been in finance since I began my career. I would like, you know, first of all, I have built my reputation on integrity and trust. And I would ask the taxpayers to consider that when they go to the voting booth. Give me your trust for 4 more years, and I will leave this place better than I found it.
And if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Peter Marcoux, the current Greene County treasurer who's running again for re-election. Do you have a website or a Facebook page you want to point people to?
I have a Facebook page.
So just search for Peter Marcoux on Facebook, and you'll find it. Anything else you want to tell us
No, I think, Election Day is coming up soon. The voters have a choice. I would hope they make Peter Marcoux their choice.